Hey guys, and welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of Chapter 9, the audiobook lecture. My name is Eddie Lester. We're going over National Academy of Sports Medicine's Essentials of Personal Fitness Training, starting on page 224, or Chapter 9, which is Core Training Concepts. So, looking at page 224, Core Training Concepts, just to go over a few of the objectives, after studying this chapter, you'll be able to understand the importance of the core musculature, differentiate between the stabilization and the movement system, discuss the importance of core training, design a core training program for clients at any level of training, and perform, describe, and instruct various core training exercises. So, to start off, they just are going to introduce the core. So the main thing with the core is that I want you guys to know what muscles make up the core. So looking over to page 225, let's first define the core. The structures that make up the lumbopelvic hip complex, including the lumbar spine, pelvic girdle, abdomen, and hip joint. So most people think of the core as just the muscles that, you know, like the rectus abdominis or the six pack, or you know, maybe their obliques, but typically the core is going to be made up of any muscle that attaches to the lumbopelvic hip complex, the lumbar spine or the lower spine, or we'll say low back, or the pelvic girdle and abdomen, or even crossing the hip joint. So a muscle like a hip flexor could even be considered a core muscle, or especially like the gluteus maximus would be considered a core muscle. So to look further down the page on 225, they're going to describe the core using different systems. The first system they're going to go over is going to be the local stabilization system. And the local core stabilizers are going to be the ones that are built for stabilizing the core and not moving the core. So to specifically go over the core stabilizers, in the middle of the paragraph on page 225, there's going to be a sentence just after 16, or this number 16 after muscle spindles, underneath table 9.1 and further down, about halfway through, it says the primary muscles that make up the local stabilization system include the transverse abdominis, internal obliques, multifidus, pelvic floor musculature, and diaphragm. And if NASM ever asks about these, or the local stabilization system, typically they're going to want you to know that the transverse abdominis is in the local core or local stabilization system. So if you do want to highlight that, would be decently important. All right, looking at the bottom of page 225, it just has a picture of the core musculature, and specifically it's showing the front of the body and the rectus abdominis with the external obliques shown there, and just maybe some of the local stabilizer muscles. So flipping over to page 226, on figure 9.2, it's going to go over the human movement efficiency. And one thing that you want to note about human movement efficiency is that it's all relying on the stabilization of the core. So if your core is kind of floppy, we'll say, or not very strong, it's going to affect the entire human movement system. And specifically, they go over how optimal neuromuscular control is going to be made up of normal length tension relationships or proper flexibility, normal force couple relationships or proper strength, and normal joint arthrokinematics, meaning the bones are in correct alignment, meaning no postural imbalances. So looking down towards table 9.1, muscles of the core, you're going to have the three systems located here. And the three systems, the local stabilization system, those are the muscles that you're going to work out when you hold or stabilize the core at any point. So doing your planks or doing your side planks or even glute bridges or maybe Supermans, Cobras, any core stabilization exercise is going to be targeting the transverse abdominis, internal obliques, lumbar multifidus, which is going to be run in and out of the spine or just along the spine, and also the pelvic floor muscles, which might be in like a Kegel exercise or holding back your going to the bathroom, we could say. And then you also have your diaphragm, which is the top of your core. And all of those work to contract to make sure that your spine does not move. And then you have the global stabilization system. I'm kind of moving into the bottom of page 226 when I talk about the global stabilization system. But just to go over the muscles involved in that, you have the quadratus lumborum, psoas major, external oblique, proportions of the internal oblique, basically a lot more muscles than the local stabilization system. NASM doesn't typically ask questions around the global stabilization system, but more or less what I do is I group the global stabilization system and the movement system together and just call it the global movement system, in the sense that anything besides those five in the local stabilization system, any muscles that attach to the core, are going to be part of the global movement system if they're not in the local stabilization system. So like your lats, your quadriceps, your hamstrings, hip flexors, gluteus medius, rectus abdominis, all those are just gonna be separate from the local stabilization system and be more for moving the core. And a lot of people think that core training is going to be about, you know, like crunches or side crunches or rotations, different stuff like that. To tell the truth, your core training should emphasize stabilizing the spine. And that's what all the core muscles are meant to do. They're meant to protect the spine from movement, not necessarily promote a ton of movement. Obviously, with aesthetics in fitness, you can get into, you know, getting a better six-pack or making your obliques a little bit more defined by working those muscles out. But typically, I wouldn't really go into a lot of like crunches or side crunches or crazy rotations or Russian twists unless my client has a low enough body fat percentage to where definition or increase in definition in the core would show. And that's typically in males below about 10% body fat and in females below about 20-ish body fat, 20% body fat. So looking down further on page 226, you have the global stabilization system, which is just going to go over the muscles. You have the movement system, which is just going to go over the muscles as well and talk about how it helps to move the core. And then at the bottom of page 227, it says the importance of properly training the stabilization systems. This is what I was emphasizing. When you are doing a core training, and especially with a new client, you got to build the ability to stabilize the core before you move the core. And that's working on your local stabilization system muscles via planks, side planks, glute bridges. I call those muscles like the core, or those exercises the core four, planks, side planks, glute bridges, and supermans, because those hit all of these stabilization systems muscles or local stabilization system muscles and can be really good just to help build efficiency. And you could always, you know, improve by doing longer time or adding a little bit of weight or adding like a movement associated with those that stabilizes the core or external body movement, that sort of thing. So moving over to page 228, it's going to talk about an inefficient core in a little bit and summarize the rest. But looking down towards the bottom, the scientific rationale for core stabilization training. So the main point, kind of just talking about what we talked about earlier, is you want to create a stable core before you move the core. And the draw-in maneuver and bracing can be a way to teach someone how to stabilize their core. So the draw-in maneuver is going to be drawing in your belly button towards your spine and holding that in. Almost like you take a deep breath and draw that belly button towards your spine. Bracing is going to be a little bit different, and I typically teach bracing over the draw-in maneuver just because it's a little easier to grasp. And bracing I teach by having someone get into athletic position and kind of forcing their muscles outward, as if you're trying to push your stomach and everything outward. They are going to describe it a little bit differently, but that's typically the way that I'll discuss or teach someone how to brace. So to read them or define them, bracing occurs when you have contracted both the abdominal, lower back, and buttocks muscles at the same time. So squeezing the glutes in athletic position, arching that low back, and adding muscular arch to the low back, meaning contracting the low back muscles, and then contracting the abdominal muscles is going to be bracing. And I teach that by having someone get into athletic position, meaning the knees are bent, hips are back as if they're about to sit down, slight arch in the low back, and then shoulders back and down. And if you stand up in that position, if you were to do that right now, you could touch any part of your core and it would be relatively solid. All right, so talking about 229 at the bottom, or stretch your knowledge, low back pain and an inefficient core. So with low back pain and an inefficient core, you're going to want to understand that if your core is weak, you're going to be at a greater risk for low back pain. So all they're doing in saying that is just discussing studies that have proven that a weak core leads to low back pain. And doing those core exercises and those holds can help to strengthen that local stabilization system and create a stronger core, therefore decreasing low back pain. I also address low back pain by doing flexibility techniques and stretching all the muscles, or foam rolling and stretching all the muscles of the hips. Which, yeah, if you look at your hips, you have your quads, you have your glutes, you have your hamstrings, you have your adductors, your inner thigh muscles. You also have your calves kind of play a little bit of a role in that too. So just formulating and stretching all the muscles of that lower body and hip region, low back as well, can be very beneficial to reducing low back pain. So flipping over to page 230, they're going to talk a little bit more about the draw-in maneuver. You can go ahead and read that on your own. Drawing in is just bringing that belly button towards the spine and holding a nice tight core. Bracing, I already described it, and is that kind of like athletic position with a low back arch, glutes contracted, and the core engaged. And looking towards page 231, on table 9.2, you have the core training parameters. So whenever you do any type of training, you want to make sure that it's very functional and utilizes all sorts of different variables. And those variables could be like planes of motion, range of motion, types of resistance, different body positions, different speeds of motion, meaning like tempo, and also how long you hold it, the frequency in which you hold it, and the amount of feedback that you give as a personal trainer. To go over variables a little bit more specifically as far as importance, planes of motion is going to be important. You have to understand that there is three planes of motion, and you need to train the core in all three planes of motion. So an instance for a hold in all three planes of motion, a sagittal plane hold would be something like a plank, okay, holding just a plank face down. A frontal plane hold would be like a side plank. That's because gravity's forcing you down, but you're keeping your hips up on the side, on your elbow. And then a transverse plane would be like taking a cable or a band and moving or attaching it to a, we'll say, post and rotating using your core and holding that rotation in athletic position. That would be like an example of the transverse plane hold for core strengthening. Also, you have range of motion. That's more when you get into moving the core that you'd want to do, you know, small ranges of motion to larger ranges of motion. Then the different types of resistance. You can use a ton of different types of exercise equipment to work out the core. And, you know, just you learn how to utilize all different types of equipment and to do core exercise, as well as body position, different, you know, supine, prone, meaning face down, face up, lying on your side, kneeling, standing, staggered stance, single stance, lots of different stuff like that. And then speed of motion, they just go over the, you know, what are you doing? Are you doing it for stabilization, meaning very slow and controlled? Are you doing it for strength, which is very, we'll say moderate paced, and then power, which is exploding. And for core power, that would be more geared towards athletes, as it's not going to be the most aesthetic sort of training. It's going to be more towards getting the core to fire very fast and be as strong and powerful as possible. So, looking at exercise selection, you want to make it from easy to hard, simple to complex, known to unknown, different stuff like that. And then systematic, go in the OPT model ranges, or in the phases, and progress from easier to hard as far as stabilization to strength, strength to power. Moving over to page 232, it's just going to finish up discussing that, and then at the bottom, stretch your knowledge, the use of core stabilization training to support it. Yes, it does work. There's some basic studies that you can read right there that are going to help to benefit that sort of training. And then we have, on the bottom of page 233, we have they talk about designing a core training program. So designing a core training program, what you mainly want to do is you want to learn new core exercises, or just learn a ton of core exercises so that you can take your new clients through these core exercises or core circuits or core training. And specifically, yeah, they want to talk about in the middle of page 234, we have intervertebral stability, lumbopelvic stability, and movement efficiency. So levels of core training, we're talking about core stabilization training, we're talking about core strength training, and we're talking about core power training. So looking at the bottom of page 234, you have your OPT model. And the OPT model is going to be your phases of training. And specifically with core, you want to make sure that you do the types of training as far as stabilization, strength, or power that are related to your client's goals. So for stabilization, if it's a brand new client that they want to, you know, maybe lose some weight and just get more coordinated, you can just utilize core stabilization exercises. With strength, that's going to be more towards, hey, you know, I want to get a little bit more aesthetically pleasing six-pack or something. So you might work there. Then power, hey, I'm an athlete and I use my core in a baseball swing, so I want to do rotational power exercises, different stuff like that. So looking at page 235, we're going to start to go over different core exercises. The marching is going to be like a glute bridge. You could hold the glute bridge. I'm going to go over these relatively quickly as I want you to practice these whenever you get a chance. And flipping over to page 236, I do want to point out one specific thing. And this is where you're going to get into potential test questions. Within the core chapter or chapter 9, there's going to be about 5 questions that you're going to have to know. And one that they specifically like to point out is going to be what exercises belong in what phase of training. So for instance, the prone floor cobra, which is on page 236, they're going to ask what phase of training a ball cobra is in, or a stability ball cobra. And typically anything with a stability ball is going to include, or going to be included in core stabilization training, or in stabilization training, I should say, because it's a stability ball, sometimes called a Swiss ball too. And so the core stabilization exercises, ball prone cobra is going to be something that you might need to know for the test. Also, just below that, the prone iso ab, that's going to be really good for new clients. And I want you to write that next to prone iso ab. That's going to be a great exercise just to get someone that's brand new to fitness started and to learn how to engage their core, practicing that prone iso ab. And within that prone iso ab position, you can contract and try to pull your elbows towards your toes and pull your toes towards your elbows to even get a greater contraction within that exercise. So looking over to page 237, they go over core strength exercises. Actually, one thing to point out about the core stabilization exercises, most of these are going to be holds, okay? And looking over to 237 and core strength, these are all going to be movements. For instance, crunch or extension or side crunch or rotation. It's going to be some sort of movement. So if you ever see a ball crunch, you know that that's going to be associated with a core strength routine because it's going to be based off of moving. So flipping over to page 238, they're just going over different core strength exercises. I'm sure you've seen these, back extensions, maybe reverse crunch, a crunch, a cable rotation. All of these are going to be core strength exercises, and you can practice them when you get in the gym or even right now. Hey, try a reverse crunch, try a rotation with a band, anything that you have at your disposal. Finishing up on page 239 in the bottom right, we're going over core power. Core power is going to be throwing something or throwing like a medicine ball using your core. So flipping over to page 240, there's going to be one thing that I want to point out that might be important to know for the test. And specifically, you have the rotation chest pass. It's going to ask about how do you set up or how do you prepare for a rotational chest pass. And specifically, you're going to want to stand upright with your body about 90 degrees towards a wall. And that's a little bit of a tricky one because the rotation chest pass is going to potentially not be an exercise that you're very familiar with. So how do you prepare for it? You're going to want to stand 90 degrees to a wall, and you're going to want to rotate and explode with one arm, just like the man is on page 240 under the rotation chest pass. So definitely highlight that one and know how to set up for it or how to prepare, which is stand, you know, upright with feet shoulder width apart. Make sure that the body is at 90 degrees to a wall, and then explode across. The next one that is going to be important to know is going to be the soccer throw, and they're just going to ask, you know, what exercise where does a soccer throw belong as far as exercises, and that's going to be the core power section. So to kind of finalize everything, and flip over to page 242. With chapter 9, the main things that you're that you want to know is all about maybe the muscles of the core, specifically the local stabilization system. You want to know the exercises so that you can train the core. And remember, with a new client, this is where you want to start their training. You start their training by building their core. NASM might say, you know, oh, you start with stabilization and all whatever type of stabilization is fine. I say get down on the floor, get your planks going, get your core four moving, some glute bridges, side planks, Supermans or Cobras, whichever one you want to call it, and really get them to engage their core before you take them into any sort of movement activity, because that's going to warm up those muscles and get them prepared to make sure that you don't potentially put their spine at injury or at risk for injury. So finishing up to fill in the template, Yet based off of the core types of training, you have stabilization, strength, and power. You can read the chart on table 9.3 to understand a few of those. Don't typically ask many questions around core training and direct programming like this on the test, but it is good to know, you know, if you're in stabilization, 12 to 20 reps at a slow tempo is going to be preferred. And also the rest with strength and power. So finishing up on page 243 to fill in the template. So the core balance and plyometric training, if you have a programming chart or you're using NASM's programming chart, which is available on their website for download, you just have to find documents or something, and it's called the OPT template or the OPT programming model. And the core balance or plyometric training is where you're going to fill in that core training and figure that out. So thank you so much. Looking forward to getting you guys all finished with Chapter 9 and going to do the assignment as well as the quiz, and see you next chapter.